Ah, good morning, everybody. I am so blessed and honored to get to start this new series called The Line. And like Aurelia was sharing, you know, we go into this holiday season and, you know, it's stressful and shopping and, you know, this, that, and the other thing. And just, I love it that we get to spend this month focusing on the real reason that we celebrate this holiday. And it's not just about Christmas trees and reindeer and presents and credit card debt. It's about when God drew the line. God changed everything forever. When Jesus was born, there was a line drawn, and nothing was ever the same again. And we celebrated as his people that happened. And, you know, it was such a major event that you can ask an atheist, well, you know, when did that happen? And he's like, oh, you know, 700 BC. Aha! So you acknowledge, you know, time was measured by this. It was such a major event, BC, AD. Major, major historical, life-changing event that happened. So over the next couple weeks, we're going to be looking at not just a birth, but the birth. And as Joe was sharing, Christmas is a story of God invading Earth in a human suit to solve a problem too big for us to tackle. So this holiday represents the day that everything changed forever. Here's our problem. We have a problem, and we need Jesus, but why? Because we have a human condition that's impossible to fix called sin. We've been infected with the disease of sin, and the end result is death. That's why we're dying. This has been passed down from generation to generation to generation. And this is why we're dying every day that we're here. We've been infected. Well, the unnatural condition of the human race is sin and separation. So we were originally created by God to live forever. That's normal. And our bodies, relationally alive and connected to God, relationally alive and connected to ourselves, relationally alive and connected to each other, relationally alive and connected to our environment. Because the world's dying too. But isn't that awesome that someday the new heaven and the new earth will come together? We'll have our new resurrected bodies. And we'll feel so complete and we won't be tripping on things. You know? So if I came out here, because Adam and Eve didn't know, even though they were naked until sin came in. Wouldn't it be awkward if I came out here to preach and I was naked? You'd be a little distracted. Joe might get some emails and some phone calls. But that's because of sin. Someday, all that's not going to matter. You and I won't even trip on that. We won't be judging each other and tripping out on our own selves. We'll be able to sit there and do a little stretch. What are you going to do today? Well, I'm going to go surf with the sharks. I was talking to Jesus earlier. He still thinks we're awesome. We aren't going to trip. You know what's funny is we're in re-engage, and last week was on emotional intimacy, and my beautiful wife that's here today said, you know, I totally get it, but Not everything should be intimate. Like sometimes I've, you know, I walked in on Chris and he's like, hey, what is this? And she's like, can we just have a shred of mystery between us, please? But someday she'll go, oh, that's no problem. That's whatever it is. You're perfect. Oh, thank you. You too. But sin came in and jacked us all up. Romans 5:12 says this. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way, death came to all people because all have sinned. Now, we can blame Adam and Eve, but let's be honest. How many times has Satan fooled you? I know he fooled me. I thought sex, drugs, and rock and roll was going to make me feel good and whole. And I was left wanting. Because the only thing that can really make me okay is God. Amen? So because we all have this disease, we need someone who doesn't. We needed a solution. So what can cure me from this wretched life of sin and separation from God? Well, God tells us his plan in Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, God with us. Someone who is pure has the solution and the cure for sin. In Matthew 1:21, it talks about the fulfillment of that. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And Ephesians 2:4-5 says, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. Now, I did really good first service. I seem to be doing okay now, but it seems like, I mean, I reserve the right to cry today while I talk to you, because when I read that scripture and I think about the life that I have lived, it blows me away that God would love me, you know? And I just can't believe that he would love us so much that he saw us at our worst. Because he knows the end from the beginning, amen? He knows all of it, past, present, and future. And he made a plan for us. I like Joe sometimes gives this visual of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit huddling around. All right, guys. Jesus, you're going to go down there. You're going to live a sinless, perfect life because you're my boy. And you're going to die for our people. Now get out there. Have a good attitude. Get down there. What are you laughing at, Holy Spirit? You're going to live in them when he comes back. That's the plan. But what a gracious God to do that when I was living on the streets, slamming speedballs, just wrecking myself, breaking into houses and stealing people's things, high on methamphetamine. He loved me. He died for me. That amazes me. Romans 5:6-11 says this. Well, I'll read 6-8. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person. Though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us while in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's why we honor him today when we worshiped. He's the only one who had the cure. He was God. He was man. He was God. But he fulfilled his purpose here. And he could have smoked everybody. Everybody that came against him. Everybody that beat him. Everybody that cussed and spit at him. The guys that hung him on the cross, he could have smoked them all. But he didn't. I was in the shower today and I'm like, you know, God, use me. And I'm praying. And he spoke to me. He goes, I want you to tell him what a mighty God I am. That I'm not, he's not, just because he was a lamb, just because he was beaten, just because he was like a lamb led to slaughter, doesn't mean he doesn't have the power. See, God had a plan because violence, if Jesus would have smoked the guys that were hurting him, he wouldn't have fulfilled the final sacrifice that we needed. Because violence isn't going to cure sin. Love is. Love, he loved us so much, he said not a word. He just took it because of the glory set before him, because he knew that you and I would miss the mark. We would sin. We would fall short of where we were supposed to be right with God. He took one for the team. Amen? So verse 9 says, since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received reconciliation. I get to boast in God about my life. I was telling the first service earlier that I gave my life to Jesus in a rehab in Northern California. And I got out of that rehab, and I probably stayed clean and sober for 30 days. Went back to the same girl I was dating, did the same things, and I got the same results. And I went back to that life, and I ended up manufacturing methamphetamine, which is a horrible career choice, by the way. And I mean, I was all in. I was 130 pounds. I had the t-shirt that said Team Satan 666. I even remember, and God, see, I don't really remember a lot of my past because it was so crazy and I was on so many things that I just, you know, but God will, like, he'll just give me, you know, little things of how jacked up I was, so it keeps me grateful. And I'm in my truck, and I'm like, okay, Satan, if we're going to ride, then make sure that, you know, the cops stay away from me. And instantly I was busted. But here's the thing. I was dying. I truly believe with everything that I have in me that God save me, because he said, oh, hell no. You ain't making no deal with the devil. You're my kid. Now go think about it for 3 years in prison. Yeah. Get it right this time, son. So I boast in him. I didn't deserve that. And he had grace on me. And I live every day of my life, I get to spend with him because of the birth. Because Jesus did what he was called to do for us. It's all about the blood of Jesus. As the ushers come forward, we're going to do communion today. The life is in the blood. Just how I said that sin destroys life, the life is in the body and the blood of Jesus. So this body may be dying, but my spirit will live forever. Amen? Our spirit lives forever. Sin, death, and hell no longer can hold us down. So we come to the communion table and we recognize it as a symbol of what Jesus accomplished for us. But it's not all dazzly, and we don't put on robes and have a parade once a month. He just wanted for us to simply remember the fundamentals about him. Let's talk about the bread and the wine. The wine was chosen, obviously, for its blood-like color, but it was also an antiseptic back then. It's what they used to, you know, kill the germs and stuff in the water and all that other stuff. Which is fitting because the blood of Jesus is our antiseptic for sin. Now, we use grape juice here because if it was real wine, some of you would be taking communion 350 times today. You know who you are. Just leave the bottle here. I got it. And it's hard to see blood. Blood is internal, right? So I have to cut myself for it to actually be exposed. And that's where the bread comes in. Jesus' body was broken for us. It was broken for our iniquities. And the blood spilled for our sin. If you were to analyze the blood, our blood's contaminated by sin. Like I said before, handed down from generation to generation to generation. We're born into it. But the blood of Jesus is perfect and pure. The virgin birth of Christ establishes his righteousness. The DNA of man through Mary. The outward body 100% human, but the inward 100% God. Pure. Perfect. Even Judas, when he betrayed him, said, "I have betrayed innocent blood." And Paul explains, "For God has made him," Jesus, "to be sin for us, who knew no sin." He never missed the mark. Thank you, sister. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He's pure, perfect, pure, and righteous. Hebrews 7, 26 and 27 says this, "Such a high priest truly meets our need. The one who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Unlike the other high priests, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once and for all when he offered himself." First Corinthians 11, 23 through 25 says this, "For I received from the Lord what I also pass on to you, The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Thank you, Jesus. When the pure blood of Jesus is applied to the sinner, it provides a cleansing, everlasting, once and for all. Now, the reason why I told you that story about me and the meth train is because I want you to know something. Because I know there's people in here that struggle. But when you're God's, when Jesus says you're mine, let me tell you something. You can run, but you can't hide. He said, "I will not lose one. I will not lose one." So I encourage you. Walk with him. Don't run from him. Because you might end up in prison. But praise God, it's all part of the plan. I mean, I needed some time to think. I also want you to know that you're saved. If you've asked Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, and you meant it, you're His. You know, we all screw up, but you're His. 1 Peter 1, 18 through 20 says this: "For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver and gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but it was the precious blood of Christ, the Lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake." You see, we weren't bought with the things of this earth, social status, where you come from, gold, silver, money, whatever. We weren't bought with that. We were bought with pure blood, pure holiness, pure love, pure sovereignty, and pure righteousness. That's what we were bought with. No man on earth, no devil in hell can mess with that. Amen? Hebrews 9:12 says, "He did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once and for all by his own blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption." So now that I've explained that our faith, see, we have faith in his blood. We don't have faith in our own doing because our own doing ain't good enough. And I think we can all say amen to that. But we have faith in him and what he did. So the struggle is real. We have the Holy Spirit living in us. We have communion with God. But we're still walking in the flesh. I told first service this morning, I'm going to tell on myself right now. I was taking my kids to school last week, and I realized that I needed to give them money for school because they had something for school, and I'm pulling up to a light. Nope, there's Chase right there. And I look in my rearview mirror. There's no cars. There's one car way back there coming towards me. So I back up my truck, and I pull into Chase, and I look over, and there's this lady hanging out of her car. yelling and cussing at me. And I don't know where this came from. But I waved at her with two hands. And all of a sudden, my middle finger popped up at them, both of them. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I got done doing that? And that's, you know, that's when my kids are like, whoa. And see, my family likes to call me Pastor Chris when I do stuff like that. That's when they acknowledge I'm a pastor. Oh, Pastor Chris! And I'm like, oh. Oh, Pastor Chris, help me, Jesus. But you know what? Immediately, I repented to my kids, obviously. Said, you know what? I'm sorry. That was wrong. I don't know what's going on in her life. Something's going on in her life. I mean, I didn't even, you know, remotely, you know, almost cause a wreck or whatever. She just was angry. And so something's obviously going on in her life. I had the opportunity to stop and pray for her. You know, things I should have done in the first place, but hey, you know what? I missed the mark right there. But this is what I love about Jesus, is that I get to dust myself off, and I get to have a clear conscience. He says I can. I can have a clear conscience. Where's that scripture? Give it to me. Man, whatever. It says it in the Bible. And I get to move on. I don't have to be condemned and live in like, I'm not good enough. I you know, I don't have anything to give. I don't have anything to share. I'm a loser. I'm incapable. I'm not equipped. Trust me, all that stuff goes through my mind. But I don't have to buy into that, because I've been bought with the blood of Jesus, which makes me his family. That gives me power from him that I get to operate in, so I can boast in God. Amen? You too. So it's so, even Paul, right? Paul, pillar of the Bible. Ooh, we have 6 minutes. Paul, the pillar of the Bible, wrote most of the New Testament, said, I do what I don't want to do. What I don't want to do, I do. What's going to save me from this wretched, sinful man? But God, who had grace on me, who sent Jesus Christ. So even Paul screwed up. But we don't have to live there anymore, because the line was drawn. God sent Jesus. He was born. He lived a sinless life, and he died for us. Then God took him home, sent the Holy Spirit as a stamp, as a promise, as a reservation of your home that's in eternity with him. So we do not need to walk in condemnation. We get to go, you know what, God? I just flipped that lady off, and I'm so sorry. I need you to help me. Help me, God. Fill me with your Holy Spirit right now. I repent. And God, I just pray you bless her. Whatever she's going through, God, I pray that you would show yourself so mighty in her life that you would just, it would be, she would just fall in love with you, Jesus. And what a blessing, right? What a blessing to get to turn that around so I don't have to just live in bitterness and anger and hate. Jesus has set me free. He set you free. We don't have to live like that while we're here, because we have a purpose. We have a plan. And it's not just to pay bills and grind it out Monday through Friday. It's to love each other. God teaches us to love ourselves, because some of us, We need to learn how to love ourselves. Amen. We never have done that before. But God will teach us how to love ourselves in a healthy way. So you know what? When we love ourselves, we can love each other in a healthy way and let each other be who we are. Right here, right now, and just love each other. Sometimes we might flip each other off. But we can repent and move on. Amen? So, I don't want to end this service without giving everybody an opportunity to know Jesus. If everybody would bow their head and close their eyes. God drew the line in the sand. He sent our Lord and Savior Jesus to die for us, and all we have to do is say yes to Him. It's free. Salvation is free. It's about surrendering our hearts and our lives to Him. So I want to encourage you, if you've never given your life to Jesus, today's the day. If you've given your life to Jesus before and backslidden and you want to just reconnect because it's about you surrendering and saying, yes, please come into my life and just rock my world with your Holy Spirit, then do that today. Today's the day. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. If you've never given your life to Jesus or you want to rededicate your life to Him, I want you to raise your hand right now and I'll pray for you. I see your hands. I see your hands. There's hands all over this church. Amen. Praise God. Church, help me out. Repeat after me. Father God in heaven, thank you for your son, Jesus. I'm a sinner, and I need a Savior. Come into my heart. Come into my life and change me. Today, I turn from my old way, and I turn to you. And I ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit. And I declare, today I'm saved. Today I'm changed. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, everybody. Have a great weekend. Have a great Sunday and a great week.